in Colorado yesterday, criminal charges against NBA basketball star Kobe Bryant were dismissed. The prosecution announced that they would not continue with the case after Bryant's accuser decided she would not go on with the case. Bryant issued a statement through his lawyers containing an apology to the woman, but no admission of wrongdoing. The Los Angeles Lakers star still faces a civil suit, which is pending. Carlin Meyer is a professor of law at New York Law School, and she teaches courses in women in the law. She's with us now from her home in New York City. Thanks very much for being with us.
Happy to be here. It's my pleasure.
So now that the criminal charges have been dropped with prejudice, they can't be brought back. What will Bryant be faced with, charged with, if he goes to a civil trial?
Well, in a civil trial, in the first place, it's not charges. That is, the plaintiff, in this case, the alleged victim, will bring charges herself through her lawyer, but we don't call them charges, we call them claims, and she will claim that she was injured when he assaulted her sexually.
And in terms of penalty, obviously, jail time is not an issue anymore.
Jail time is no longer an issue. It's all about money.
And so in Colorado, do you know what the law provides? Can she sue him for any unlimited amounts?
Well, yes, although the law in every state allows for an appellate court to say whatever the jury awarded is excessive and to cut that back. But she can sue him for a considerable amount of money.
We're talking about the Kobe Bryant case with Carlin Meyer, a professor of law at New York Law School. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
We may want to recall in this connection that O.J. Simpson, who was, the charges were not dropped, but he was found not guilty. Thereafter, there was a civil suit, and of course, in that suit, then he was, the claims were made out.
Now, the standards of proof, obviously, in a criminal case, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. In a civil case?
In a civil case, the standard is typically a preponderance of the evidence. And while lawyers have fought back and forth about what that actually means, the images most commonly used are a little bit more in the scale. If you put the evidence on both sides of a scale, it'll weigh a little bit more heavily on the side that has the preponderance of the evidence.
Now, when there was a criminal case, the woman's identity was at least theoretically protected by Colorado's Rape Shield law. The court there made a couple of mistakes and released her name by accident. I think her name had been published already by some media, let's put it that way. But if she's now dropped the criminal charges, or if the state has dropped the criminal charges, is she still under the protections of Colorado's Rape Shield law?
Greater protection that she got from the Rape Shield law in Colorado was that her sexual history could not be gone into. And the judge made a little exception for the sexual history of the 72 hours before she filed the complaint, but her past could not be brought up, how many lovers she had, whether she was promiscuous or not. And that was intended to protect women from an earlier history in which men were typically acquitted when it turned out that the woman had had sex earlier, and this showed in the 19th century that she was a slut and couldn't be raped, and in the early 20th century. That protection is all lost in a civil trial. In a civil trial, not only her identity will be known, but also her sexual history can be gone into at length by the defendant.
So that's all part of the evidence now. And in terms of the media that declined to publish any of this information, including her identity beforehand, presumably they're now free to do so.
They are if she pursues her civil suit.
Okay. Does this all of this encourage lawyers in civil cases to disclose information about the accuser?
Does it encourage lawyers in civil cases to disclose information?
Yeah.
Well, the information... If there is a civil trial, then, of course, either side has an interest in order to defend against the charges or the claims, the financial claims of assault, in pursuing the possibility that the other one, for example, in this case, that the woman had sex at a later time with someone else, and it was that person who really assaulted her. So there certainly is an incentive. There's an incentive for her to go into Bryant's sexual history to try to show that he had a tendency to violent sex, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Again, this is the kind of thing that both sides will want to do.
And I understand there's a lot of people who think there will not be a civil trial, that in fact this case is going to be settled out of court.
Yes, I'm one of them. In fact, I suspect that there's already the outline of a settlement on the books. Neither party has an interest in continuing to be dragged through the courts and have their sexual histories explored in this way. And in this case, there's money available to make the case go away.
But very briefly, isn't that a defendant basically saying, all right, don't testify against me in criminal court, and here's X million dollars?
Well, it does look a bit like that, and the prosecutor was at pains to say this isn't what's happening, and certainly everyone is at pains to make it look as if that's not what's going on. But to a certain degree, there are those who believe they both haven't. There are those who believe that that's exactly what's going on, and whether or not there was a rape, she certainly has found, has produced, there is some forensic evidence that there was a harm, mm-hmm. That there was at least some trauma. And for Bryant, who...
Very quickly, Professor.
Yes. For Bryant, it makes economic sense. His time is worth a great deal.
Okay.
Make it go away.
Carlin Meyer, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Carlin Meyer, professor of law at New York Law School. Ira's here tomorrow with Science Friday. We'll see you Monday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, and this is NPR News.